From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here are today's guest hosts, pianist Elizabeth Joy Rowe and Greg Anderson. Together, the fabulous piano duo, Anderson and Rowe.
Thank you so much. Greetings, everyone. I'm Elizabeth Joy Rowe, and this is my co-host for tonight, Greg Anderson.
And together we're the Anderson and Rowe Piano Duo. It is our mission to make classical music a relevant and powerful force in society. And we do this by performing in concert halls around the world, creating music videos to excite and energize young audiences into the world of classical music, and by bringing our music into the community and schools.
From what we've seen and experienced all week, it's clear that From the Top shares the same values. We have long admired this extraordinary organization, so it's truly an honor to be hosting From the Top. All right, we are at the Center for the Arts at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia, for the second of two shows we're doing from this neighboring city to Washington, D.C. Thank you so much to Great Performances at Mason for bringing us here.
We've got a terrific show for you today. Liz is going to collaborate with a really impressive 17-year-old violinist on a performance of William Grant Still's Summerland. We've also got the rare treat of presenting a teenage countertenor. I'll be joining him at the piano.
And later on, we'll both join a local teenage piano duo in an eight-hand, two-piano arrangement of Grieg's In the Hall of the Mountain King.
And speaking of the piano,
which we do all the time,
we'll start today's show with Liszt's transcription of everyone's favorite love song. At least it's my favorite love song, Widmung by Robert Schumann.
It's one of my top 10.
Today it will be played by the 16-year-old from nearby Ellicott City, Maryland, Kiese Nanor. Please welcome her to the stage. Kiese, when you're ready, you can take it from the top.
Thank you.
That was Kiese Nanor, who just turned 16 this week, from Ellicott City, Maryland, performing Liszt's transcription of Schumann's Widmung. I'm Greg Anderson of the Anderson and Rowe Piano Duo, and my musical partner, Elizabeth Joy Rowe, and I are guest hosting today's show. Kiese, you just gave a performance that was flooded with vulnerability and humanity, and I just, as a pianist, I know how hard it is to reveal that side of yourself on stage, and you did it so beautifully. I cannot believe you just turned 16 years old.
You possess such natural artistry and depth, and you effortlessly bring out the poetry of Widmung.
Thank you.
Clearly connect with this piece. How did you come across it originally?
It's actually a pretty interesting story. Actually, my dad, when he used to drive me to and from school, he would play these CDs of different performing artists, and he used to play Evgeny Kithin's album with all these Liszt transcriptions of Schubert and Schumann Lieder, and I heard him play this piece, and I really just connected with it,
I also have that album, and it's so glorious. I also relate to this whole car listening thing. That's actually how I chose a lot of my pieces in the repertoire, and it's also where I sang a lot to Beatles songs, and I hear that you do the same, but to the stylings of another British pop artist, and that is Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Fine line, I guess.
Well, it sounds like your dad has been extraordinary. We met him. He is the coolest guy, and he's just been a huge influence on your musical studies. Talk about that.
So actually, ever since I started playing piano, my dad was always with me. He would come with me to all of my lessons. Now, more recently, he started recording some of my lessons. And one thing that I really appreciate is after I have my lesson, I go back home, I'm practicing the pieces that I'm working on, and he'll listen to me practice. He'll sit beside me most of the time, and he'll remind me of stuff that my teacher has said that I may have forgotten. And sometimes I kind of cast his opinion to the side, but I know that he ultimately wants me to play to the best of my ability, so I really appreciate that.
This is an exceptional dad, and we got to give a shout out to all the amazing fathers out there and parents. So, Kiese, your parents are from Africa, but not from the same place.
Yes, my dad is from Ghana, and my mom is from the Republic of Congo.
Wow. Yeah. Cool.
Well, you've obviously inherited a love of music from them, but it's my understanding that you didn't inherit an interest in their career.
Yeah, my parents are both physicians, but I actually don't do very well around blood. Actually, when I was last year in ninth grade, we were taking I was taking biology, and we were doing a frog dissection, and everyone was pretty much fine, but I had to step out of the room because I couldn't stomach the sight of all these frog guts, and also just combined with the scent of whatever liquid they were using to preserve the frog. It was just too much for me. So
I take it you won't be shadowing your parents at work.
Yeah, definitely not.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing what you did with us today. We really appreciate that. Thank you. This was Kiese Nanor, 16 years old from Ellicott City, Maryland. Thank you.
Our co-hosts today, Greg Anderson and Elizabeth Joy Rowe of the piano duo Anderson and Rowe, are known for their adrenalized performances, original compositions, and phenomenally popular music videos. Learn more at andersonrowe.com. For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
Our second performer is an outstanding teenage violist from Oberlin, Ohio, and she is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Her name is Natalie Brennick. Natalie will play the rhythmic and funky Allegro Giocoso movement of the Viola Concerto by Miklos Rozsa. And Liz and I will attempt to perform the orchestral accompaniment on two pianos. Thank you.
Natalie Brennick, 18 years old, from Oberlin, Ohio, performing the second movement of Miklos Rozsa's viola concerto with the Anderson and Rowe Symphony Orchestra backing her up. Wow, Natalie, I love how fierce and focused you are when you play. You really get into that zone, and it just came across so brilliantly in a really challenging piece of music. So bravo.
Thank you.
Yeah, such an extroverted playing. You've got this big musical family. Would you give us a tour?
Yeah, so my oldest brother, when he was in high school, he played violin, piano, and cello. My next sibling played violin. He's the boring one. And then my next sibling played violin, piano, and voice. And then my little brother plays violin and viola.
Clearly a family of underachievers.
I know, you know. There must be a lot of practicing going on at this house.
Yeah, and actually, my parents... this is an interesting fact. My parents had a heart for adoption, so two of my siblings are actually adopted from South Korea.
Well, I understand your mom is a huge inspiration for you.
Yeah, so about like 8 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So she is actually in a wheelchair now. But even with, you know, bad things happening, she is still like the happiest person I know. So she keeps me motivated when...
Oh, yeah. It's funny because I had thought you were the most happy person I knew. I would love to meet her someday. It sounds like your family is really lucky to have you around. I understand you help out a lot with housework.
Yeah, well, with my mom in a wheelchair, my brother and I actually, like, we cook and we, like, clean and do laundry. So, you know, it'll be, like, good practice for when I'm an adult.
Hashtag adulting.
Yeah.
You clearly have a very inspirational family, but I want to focus on your dad for a moment. We hear that he has one particularly quirky hobby or affinity.
So, several years ago, my dad was taking my sister to Rhode Island, and this was her first time being there. Oddly enough, they spent the afternoon in a graveyard. My dad just tends to, I mean, I think he likes going there for some reason. I don't know. But
whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, exactly. And so it became more of a family joke, though, when a couple years ago, my dad and I were both traveling, and we were visiting a historical site. Uh-huh. And my dad asked one of the tour guides, like, oh, what are some other, you know, cool sites to go visit? And the guide said, oh, there's a graveyard.
Of course.
Like,
you know.
They were like, and actually Robert Frost is buried there. So, which turned out to be my dad's favorite poet. So that was, I was glad I visited the graveyard then.
I also love Robert Frost. So that would have been on my bucket list as well. But we've got to tell your dad to go to the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris, because that one's legendary. Chopin, Jim Morrison, Edith Piaf, and Rossini are all buried there.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm gonna have to go there.
Destination Graveyard, Paris. All right. Thank you so much, Natalie, for your fantastic playing. Everyone, wish Natalie Brennick farewell. 18 years old, Natalie Brennick from Oberlin, Ohio. Next up is that violinist we mentioned at the top of the show. He's another Jack Kent Cook young artist from Bloomington, Indiana. Please welcome to the stage 17-year-old Philip Hammond. Philip, please tell everyone what you and I are going to play together.
All right, so today we're both going to be playing a piece called Summerland. It's a short, beautiful piece written by William Grant Still in the early 1900s. He was a prominent African-American composer, and this piece was originally written for piano, actually, and it's a group of three pieces which he named Three Visions. And obviously today we're going to be playing the transcribed version for violin and piano. So I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
Oh, wow. That was Philip Hammond, 17 years old, from Bloomington, Indiana, performing Summerland by William Grant Still, together with my co-host, Elizabeth Joy Rowe. That piece was beautiful, and you performed it so beautifully. It was such an intoxicating blend of impressionism and jazz. And you clearly have such an old soul. It almost sounded like it was like dripping with nostalgia.
Oh, thanks.
You are such a generous colleague. It's so much fun to play with you. And Philip, I hear that you have a goal when you play that I found truly compelling. It's about being selfless.
Sure.
Can you speak some more about that?
Yeah, of course. So I think as musicians, especially classical musicians, a lot of the time we get caught up with perfection, right? We practice etudes, scales for hours upon hours for our entire lives, just trying to get as close as we can to just, you know, perfection. And I mean, it's great for a technical foundation, but, you know, when you're actually performing, it tends to get in the way. Mm-hmm. I feel like, in a way, it's just like it's distracting. It shouldn't be the main point when you're playing.
Yeah.
You just want to get like your ego out of the way when you play. At least that's what I try to do, right? And of course, I don't do it every time. But just, you know, trying to be selfless, trying to put the composer and the music in front of, you know, just your ego, your feelings. Like, you know, like maybe if you don't think you're playing very well or. It doesn't matter. You have to get the intention of the composer across and really try to communicate with your audience. I think that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. At 17 years old, to have that wisdom, you are way ahead of the game. That is the crux. That is truly the crux of what it means to be a musician. And, you know, but you're human, so I know that you've also experienced ups and downs within this activity that we all share. Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges that you had? I heard that you had some trouble deciding whether to stick with the violin or to pursue another path.
Sure, yeah. So I think it was about a year ago. I was having just a hard time deciding whether I was ready to devote myself to music entirely. And, you know, as a 16-year-old, that's a really tough thing to face and think
Absolutely.
About, especially since I didn't know what I was doing. So it was a difficult decision. And I had other interests as well, like studying medicine is another interest of mine, right? And I just, it was a tough time, you know? Music is a difficult career choice. It's very unpredictable in its nature, right? There are a lot of options, which is great to have, but that also adds so much uncertainty. And it's so competitive, I mean, as we all know.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of doubt in my mind. But I found, you know, just trying out different activities and my hobbies, along with violin, I haven't found anything else in my life that truly gives me this sense of fulfillment and purpose, maybe even if I'm not happy all the time with it, you know, no one is. But
well, please stick with it.
Yeah, such passion, and it's so good to hear you say all those words. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Philip Hammond, 17 years old, from Bloomington, Indiana.
Thank you.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from Glenmead, an investment and wealth management company who believes investing in arts education will impact and enrich lives today and for generations to come. From New England Conservatory, where young artists and teachers are transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Thank you.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Center for the Arts at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. Coming up, an eight-hand piano spectacular as Greg and Liz join a local piano duo in an arrangement of In the Hall of the Mountain King by Grieg. Special thanks this week to Classical WETA 90.9 FM, Washington, D.C.'s home for classical music. Here again are today's host, Anderson and Rowe, the piano duo of Greg Anderson and Elizabeth Joy Rowe.
Thank you, Joanne. Joining us now is a 17-year-old countertenor from Milton, Massachusetts, and my co-host and duo partner, Greg Anderson, will be collaborating with him. Please welcome Sam Higgins. Sam, please share with everyone about the aria you're about to sing and a little bit about the song's storyline.
Of course. So I'm about to sing Dove Sei Amato Bene by Handel from his opera Rodelinda. And as I'm sure some of you know, Handel operas can be very complicated. So I'm going to try to shorten it a little bit. In this particular aria, which happens towards the beginning of the opera, my character, Bertarido, is lamenting pretty much the loss of himself. He has faked his own death, and due to a tyrant overthrowing the kingdom and him not wanting to get killed. So in this aria, he's kind of calling out and missing his Rodelinda, his wife. So enjoy.
Sounds dramatic.
It is, yeah.
All right, when you're ready, you and Greg can take this from the top.
Amato bene, fiere.
Ah, that was 17-year-old Sam Higgins from Milton, Massachusetts, singing Berta Rido's beautiful aria, Dove Sei Amato Bene, from Rodolinda Regina de Longobardi by Handel. My co-host Greg Anderson was at the piano. I'm still recovering. My heart was set aflutter by the dulcet tones of your voice.
Yeah, you really married that intense pathos of the lyrics with this pure, gorgeous melody. It was so emotional. And I understand you sang with the Boston Symphony. That's incredible. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. And I'll tell you, I won a competition, of course. And the day before the final dress was the harpsichord rehearsal at Symphony Hall. So I had already sung in the hall. I knew what it kind of sounded like. So that was no surprise in the dress rehearsal. But I just remember going in and standing in front of the BSO, and they started the introduction. It was Bach's Bereite Diktion from the Christmas Oratorio. Mm. They started the introduction, and it was like there was a recording behind me. I mean, seriously, nice. I know. And I was like, wait, are they playing a recording? But it was them.
This sounds like a really, really glorious version of karaoke.
Yeah, it was a karaoke, I have to say.
Like an A++ version.
Yeah, Liz, I think we have a new karaoke buddy.
Mm-hmm. I would love to do it again, yeah. Yeah.
So how does a 17-year-old decide to become a countertenor? I mean, first of all, how did you even learn you could sing like this? Mm-hmm.
Well, I started in choirs when I was around 4. My mom directed my first choirs. And then when I was around 11, I started doing boy soprano stuff with orchestras. And I just remember loving that high range and never wanting to lose it. And when I was like the 13 to 15 age, I was getting a little scared here. You know, I'm losing notes at the top. Yeah. What am I going to do when this switches to baritone? But I went in for my first real voice lesson after having several coachings for other gigs before. But I went in for my first real voice lesson, and my voice teacher said, "Your voice has already changed." And I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. And so it was, I've since gained some of those top notes back. But yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, so once you found out you could sing countertenor, it's clear that you've chosen music as your career path, but it sounds like there's still some decisions that you kind of have to make within your field.
Definitely, absolutely, and it's been kind of a struggle for me personally because as I've seen countertenors interviewed before, it seems like they have first discovered a love for Baroque and early music, which is mostly what we sing, before they started to develop their countertenor register. For me, it was kind of, it went a different way. I became interested in opera after I was a countertenor, discovered all these amazing operas that I just love, La Boheme, La Traviata, operas that, of course, everyone loves, all the Italian high opera. And I didn't see my voice part in any of those operas. Aww. Yeah, I know.
Boom,
I know, what a tragedy. I can't sing Violetta.
I don't know, maybe you can.
No, I don't know, I don't have an E-flat. But, no, I was able to kind of discover a love for Baroque music later on. And it happened recently for me. I love Handel, I love Haas, but I think that was a struggle that I had to kind of decide, do I want to sing baritone and sing these roles, because countertenors, you generally have a baritone register too, which is what I speak in. You can hear it. Right. Or do I want to keep singing in the register that I love? And I had to make that decision, so I chose the register.
Wow. Well, I'm really happy you've discovered this extraordinary talent in this register that you have shared it with us all. It's just so
I'm
beautiful,
so, happy to
so
be
inspiring.
Here.
So this was Sam Higgins, everybody, 17 years old from Milton, Massachusetts.
Thank you.
Check out From the Top's podcast featuring music and interviews not heard on the radio broadcast at fromthetop.org. From the Top musicians want to change the world for the better, and we're here to support them. That's why From the Top offers leadership training to all of our young musicians, and we're out there with them doing community engagement projects across the country. Learn more about all our programs at fromthetop.org.
Now it's time for that eight-hand two-piano piece we've been talking about, In the Hall of the Mountain King by Edvard Grieg. Greg and I will perform on this, but we actually need another piano duo to join us. So luckily, we were just hanging out in Virginia, just having a good time, talking about From the Top, when all of a sudden, on our path, was this amazing young piano duo, also super smart and studious, but most importantly, one of the most promising young piano duos on the scene today. Here we have Alexander Suh, 16-year-old, from right in our neighborhood, Fairfax, Virginia, and Jalen So from Chantilly, Virginia. They call themselves the Supernova Duo. Please give them a healthy round of applause.
So we've already been rehearsing with these brilliant young pianists, and I can say that it's very clear that they love playing in a piano duo just as much as Liz and I do. What made you fall in love with this genre?
Yeah, so of course we're both piano soloists, and what we found is that playing by ourselves, we get really, really lonely. In a practice room by yourself, that's the stigma. But being able to have someone else there, Jalen is a wonderful partner to really support you and encourage you, even through all the hard times when you've doubted yourself, and to have someone there that you can share the music with and share your passion with has been really, truly an amazing experience, and I think is why I love playing duets with her so, so much.
Oh, I can so relate to that experience. I consider myself to be so blessed that I get to travel the world with my best friend.
Aw, yeah. Well, thank you, and thank you. I'm getting all verklempt. But another poignant thing that we discovered in rehearsing with you guys and hanging out with you is the palpable respect that you have for each other. It's so beautiful to see. Jalen, can you talk about some of the things that you appreciate about having Alex as your colleague?
Yeah, I'm like so fortunate to have Alex as a duet partner. He's very musical and passionate about what he does. And when I watch him play, I'm mesmerized. Like, he's so inspirational because every time he plays, it's just him and the piano, and then the outside world is just not there. Oh. And in addition to playing piano duets, we've also formed a really strong friendship. And outside of piano duets, we do other musical activities together. For example, for 3 years, we've been performing every month at local senior homes in our area.
Good for you.
And we've also started a new music club at our school.
Yes, making piano playing cool.
Well, it has been a blast rehearsing with you two whiz kids. Let's tackle this monster piece together. Again, this is Grieg's In the Hall of the Mountain King, and this arrangement for eight hands at two pianos is by the German composer and teacher Adolf Ruttart.
Thank you.
That was Adolf Ruttart's arrangement of In the Hall of the Mountain King by Edvard Grieg and performed by four pianists at two pianos. I'm Greg Anderson, and I was at one of those pianos with my duo partner and co-host, Elizabeth Joy Rowe. And at the other piano were two fantastic teenage pianists, Alexander Su and Jalen So.
We're going to conclude the show with a flashback finale, a musical treat selected out of From the Top's massive 20-year deep archive. And we were thinking, who can get enough piano duo music, right, Greg?
Yeah, you can never get enough two piano music.
So we're flashing back to one of the wonderful piano duos From the Top featured 7 years ago.
From the Top met this duo at the Texas State International Piano Festival. They are 14-year-old Melvina Kuoshu and 16-year-old Jeremy Hassel. And we're going to hear the second and third movements of Scaramouche by Darius Milhaud.
But before we leap into that, we want to offer our heartfelt thanks to all the amazing young performers we've been working with. They are truly an inspiration, and they are the future of our industry and of the world at large.
We can't wait to see what they do in the future. And we also want to thank you for listening. This is Greg Anderson.
And I'm Elizabeth Joy Rowe. Please join From the Top next week.
And now here's Scaramouche.
Thank you. From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker and Tom Vagley, with music director Megan Swan. The production manager is Matt Dykeman, with assistance from Abby Rienzo. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with John Escobar and Chris Rando. The executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide to address inequality in all its forms. Learn more at fordfoundation.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.